So in chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is doing the topic of meditation, Dhyana Yoga. Prior to doing meditation, the Lord has told us what are the preliminary requirements, and he says karma. Ayuyukshor muner yogam karma karanam ujjate yoga arunasya tasya iva shama karanam ujjate. And what kind of karma? Karma yoga. Activities dedicated to the Lord, unselfish, without sense of doership. That was the third chapter. In the fourth chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna told us how to sink our individual differences and work together in the yajna spirit. And in the fifth chapter, how to give up the sense of doership, that I am doing something. So when these three are done, then a person is ready for meditation. But somebody might say, well, you know, I have not done those three. It does not matter. Meditation is something that we can start, because all those three attitudes will help us in meditation, and meditation will help us in developing those attitudes. The attitude of giving up the doership, devoting to the Lord, working. So they support each other, and that's why that is one of the essential paths which we shall see today. And then the Lord told us that once you have done karma yoga, then it is time for silence. Shama karanam ujjate. So keep your mind silent and elevate yourself by yourself. Udharet atmanatmanam na atmanam avsadayet. Lift yourself by yourself. No one else can do it for you. You cannot outsource it. I give a job to somebody else to lift me. I mean, he can lift you physically, but if you want to evolve spiritually, you have to do it yourself. Even mentally, if I want to learn something, I have to sit down and learn. And Lord says, the mind is your enemy and your mind can be your best friend, depending on how you use your mind. If you use your mind for selfish activities, it will become your enemy. You want more, want more. If you use it for serving the Lord and connect to the Lord, then such a mind becomes pure, devoid of attachment to sense objects. And then last week we talked about the man of wisdom. Bhagavan is directly going to the end, that what is the benefit of meditation? What happens once you meditate and once you evolve? So he has given us three things, the three places where we get caught up: Vyakti, Vastu and Paristhiti. Paristhiti means situations. And Bhagavan told us that a person who is on this path and evolved, Shitoshna Sukha Dukheshu Tatha Manap Mana Yoho, in heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure, such a person is able to remain unaffected, remain sama, remain balanced. One who has evolved through meditation. And then last week we also heard sama loshtashma kanchanha. For such a person, he has no attachment to objects, and whether there is mud or stone or gold, he gives equal importance to all three. One is that each one is required separately. Gold is needed as wealth. Stone is needed for buildings. Mud is needed to grow grains. But also he sees all these as matter, because his mind is always resting in the Lord, in the self. And so here he is always in the self, in the consciousness. So this BMI chart represents body, mind and intellect, which are my equipments. With the body I perceive objects, with the mind I feel emotions, and with the intellect I think the thoughts. And vasanas are my tendencies that over many lifetimes I have accumulated, which make me do what I do, good or bad, and Om is God's presence. So this wise person always remains established in that wisdom of Om, of the Lord, and so then the objects of the world do not affect such an individual. So we say, okay, objects don't affect, situations don't affect, but people, I have a hard time dealing with people, you know. So how do I deal with people? There are good and bad, there is people who love me, people who hate me, people who help me, people who hinder me, constantly create obstacles. How do I deal with them? And that is the biggest problem. That's why people say, computer is easy. I can deal with a computer. At least he doesn't talk back. But my spouse, oh my God. Anyway. So we'll talk about how to deal with people. So verse number 9. Bhagavan is mentioning all the various types of people that we can come in contact with. So chapter 6, verse number 9. Suhrin mitraryudasina. Madhyasthatvesya bandhushu. Sadushvapicha papeshu. Samabuddhir vishishyate. Together, Suhrin mitraryudasina. Madhyasthatvesya bandhushu. Sadushvapicha papeshu. Samabuddhir vishishyate. So there are various types of people that we come in contact with. The first one is suhrin, well-wishers. People who do good for others without even expecting anything back. I wish good for this person. And so I will do whatever is good without expecting what is he doing for me. Am I? No, well-wisher. So there is a person who is my well-wisher. And another one is mitra. Mitra is friend. And what is a friend? They say a friend in need is a friend indeed. What it means is that whatever thing I need, I just have to pick up the phone and call him or text him and he will right be there. No question of it's daytime, nighttime, summer, hot, winter. Always willing to help. Always willing to be part of my life. And always willing to say, okay, let's go for a movie. Let's go out for dinner. Always ready to share in my good, you know, what good or bad situation he's always or she's always willing to be there. And the third one is ari or enemy. A wise person does not consider other people as enemies. If you do, then you need to grow spiritually. If you say this person is my enemy number one, if I wipe him out, you know, or if why doesn't he move? Or why doesn't he leave the company? So then you are still, but wise person may not consider other as enemy, but others may consider him as an enemy, you know, because there are people who say, I don't like this guy. And so there may be somebody who considers you as your enemy. Then the fourth one is indifferent. That is called udasina. Udasina means I don't care what happens. Two people are fighting. He says, jagade mein kya padna hai? Nikal jao yahan se. He's not interested in, you know, taking sides or fighting with people or getting involved. He lives life indifferently. He doesn't care what is happening. Then the next one is madhyastha. Madhyastha means in the middle. So where he does not take either side, but is in the middle and tries to bring them together or tries to create fights depending on what his thinking may be. So in India, the barbers are like that. So what do they do when somebody needs to get married? Somebody's daughter wants to get married. He will talk to the barber. You know what? Can you please find a suitable boy for her? So he'll go through the town and think, yeah, there is one boy I know. And they are the same caste as you. And he's about the same age. And so he'll go to that family. While he's cutting the father's hair, you know, he will say, you know, there is a girl in the so-and-so's daughter. I think she will be good. And so he will praise the girl in front of the boy's family. And then he will get information about the boy and praise in front of the girl's family and get them together. So that is madhyastha. Or madhyastha can also be one who creates fights. You know, either ki chugli lagana, udhar ki, you know, he will say bad things here and there. So that is madhyastha. Then dveshu, again, the one who hates me, cannot stand the sight of me. That is a person. There are people like that who completely hate us, or bandhu, or our relatives. Now, relatives is a weak point for everybody. You know, that's why anybody in the position of power, what does he do? He appoints his son to the post, whether he's qualified or not, or gives a job to his son-in-law, whether the guy even knows it. ABC of politics, but he is in the top. So, bandhus, so relative of my brother-in-law, you know, he says, na, sari khudai ek taraf, joru ka bhai ek taraf. My brother-in-law, I have to give him a job, whether he... So, that is called bandhu. And then sadhu and papi. Sadhu means the right people who do the right thing. Sadhu does not only mean people with orange clothes, but one who live a good life. And papeshu are the evil. So here Bhagavan has enumerated all different kinds of people. We really can't find anybody else out of this category. That's the beauty of our rishis, that they were able to characterize everything. So all these kinds of people, how does he deal with them? How does he deal with different people who love him, people who hate him, people who hurt him? So first thing is that he treats everybody with love and respect. That is very, very important. That's why Buddha said, hatred cannot be removed by hatred. Hatred can only be removed by love. If somebody hates you, if you offer him hatred back, all you're going to do is feed the love. Mahavir Swami also said the same thing. All great saints have told us that love everybody. Jesus says that. Love is number one. When you reciprocate hatred with love, then there is nothing to feed on. And hopefully that person's mind will be changed. Even if the person's mind does not get changed, I am peaceful inside. Because if I hate somebody, then I have anger. But I love everybody. And the second is respect. When you they say, well, some people are not worthy of respect. They don't deserve respect. Doesn't matter. When you respect somebody, that person will rise to that level of respect. He will be, you know, encouraged. Oh, these people respect me so much. I should do something better. I should not lower. So love and respect will automatically change another person's mind, another person's heart. So that is number one. The other problem with likes and dislikes, which is called raga and dvesha, people you love, it's okay, but people you hate or dislike, you constantly think about them. That's what we do when we are sitting quiet or when we are trying to meditate. Our mind always goes to the persons we dislike because that person has such a strong hold on us. So give up that, likes and dislikes, whether it's for people, you know, whether it's for objects. Everything is God's creation. Everybody has been created by God, every human being. And be the same to all. Do not have preferences. You know, I only want to associate with people who praise me, somebody who is indifferent. If he is indifferent to me, I'll be indifferent to him. No, not like that. Because then what is happening is you are letting that person determine how you should act. So you say, you know, if he takes 3 steps towards me, then I'll take 3 steps towards him, not a half a step more. If he withdraws 3 steps, I'll withdraw 3 steps. So what am I doing? I am putting the key of my behavior in the other person's pocket, that he or she will decide how I deal with him, how I deal with the world. So I remain the same. Let that person do what he or she wants. That is called wisdom. That is called being the same. And how can we do that? Sometimes we say it's very difficult. You don't know. Some of the people I deal with, they are just evil, they are wicked, they are mean. Let them be. You know, there is one Lord up above who will take care of everything, everybody. The law of karma applies to everybody. I do what is good, and ultimately whatever happens, and ultimately we have to remember that, oh, God is there in everyone. Every one of us are divine. Every one of us are manifestation of that divinity. Yes, that divinity is covered by our good and bad vasanas, good and bad actions, good and bad thoughts. But ultimately, they are all, I am divine and everything is divine. So they are all me. So that sense of oneness comes. And that is what Vedanta teaches us, that there is only one Brahman, one God, who has taken all these names and forms and this and that. So once you have encountered the divine within, then it is very easy to see the divine in everybody. So start by saying there is a divinity in everybody. There is Krishna in everybody, or there is Shiva in everybody. There is Jesus in everybody. So start with that and see the oneself that is there in all. That is the best way to get over all this. We say God is there. And Tulsidas Ji beautifully said, he says, Siya Ram main sab jag jani, karahu pranam, jori jugapani. He says, I see Sita and Ram everywhere. All men I see Ram, all women I see Sita. So everybody who comes, I bow down to him with my hands folded. Why? Because my God is there. My mother goddess Sita is there. So that vision a wise person has, which you and I need to develop, that this is what we need to do and this is how we need to grow in our spiritual path. But you say, how about if bad things happen to me? Somebody says something bad or somebody does something bad. Instead of blaming that person, say it was my karmas. I must have done some karma because of which this happened. Somebody steals money from me. I must have taken money from him in a previous life. Now I paid it back. So then you don't blame anybody else for whatever is happening. It is my own karmas that are coming, maturing. So then there is nobody to blame. Then no one to blame. Anything bad happening, it is my own doing. I must have done something either in this life or previous life, which I don't know. And most of the time it is this life itself. And if it came, that's fine. So a karma yogi, a karma, one who believes in karma, deals with it this way, bad situation. How about a bhakta who has total faith in God? He says, you know what? Whatever good is happening, it's God's doing. Whatever bad is happening is also my beloved God is doing it. Why? Because there is something good in it. If there is something happening to me, he is the divine doctor. He's giving me this bitter medicine so I may grow. So if I come across a situation where I have to be very patient, I have a tough problem, think, you know what, I must be lacking in patience. And that is why God has put me with this person, whether it's my mother-in-law or my husband or my child, where I must have lacked patience. And that's why I have been placed in that situation. So this divine, merciful, all-compassionate God is giving us whatever we need to grow spiritually. I must have needed some strength, some courage, and that's why I have been placed in this situation. So every situation can be an opportunity to grow. Whether it's a good situation, you be grateful. If it's a bad situation, still be grateful. Lord, there is some good in it. That is why this has happened to me. I lost something. Even I get sickness or I lose a limb or something even really bad happens, there is some good in it. There is nothing ever that bad happens. That faith a devotee has, and his faith never wavers, no matter what problems come. Yasmin sthito na dukhe na guru napi vichalyate. Bhagwan Shri Krishna says, once he is established in that wisdom, even the greatest sorrow that the world can throw at him does not affect him, because he says, I am always with God. When I am that divinity, anything happens to my body, mind and intellect is not happening to me. It's happening to my equipment. Just as my car, if it tomorrow it breaks down, do you say I broke down? No, I go and fix the car. So similarly, this body, mind and equipment are my car, which I am using. But what we do is we always are playing a game of chess. When we meet people, we say, how can I defeat him? How can I overcome him? What tricks can I use? Stop that. Just everybody is God. Everybody is divine. So do not have this competitive. Yes, of course, we have to be successful. I'm not saying that one should not. But do not have this attitude of trying to put others down, trying to hurt others. And how about people who behave in a particular way? He said, that is his nature. Accept that. Like, do we say, why is salt salty? Why is it not sweet? No, we don't say that. Why can salt not be like sugar? No, salt has its own nature. Sugar has its own nature. Why can't fire be cold? Why is fire hot? Fire cannot be hot. Ice, you want cold, get ice. So similarly, individuals have their particular nature, and a wise people understand that. In My Fair Lady, there's a very beautiful song, this old time movie, where this person, his beloved, is acting in a particular way that he doesn't like, and she's angry with him and all. And so he's talking to his friend. He says, "Why can't a woman be more like a man?" Then he tells his friend, "Would you be upset if I didn't remember the day we met, the anniversary?" He said, "No, of course not." He says, "Would you be angry if I didn't send you flowers on your birthday?" He said, no, certainly not." He said, "Why can't a woman be more like you?" Now, the whole song is like that. Why can't a woman be more like... Each woman is different from man. Every person is different. So a wise person accepts everybody as they are and uses whatever is good in them and ignores what is bad. Because he says, you know, everybody is a mixture of good and bad. Nobody in this world is perfect. Nobody. If we were perfect, we would be God. So accept a person's imperfections, work with them, and be non-judgmental. Do not judge people. Do not classify people as this is good, this is bad. Everybody is divine. Then and then alone vishishyate. Such a person alone excels. In life, otherwise we are always bound, we are always caught, we are always going through likes and dislikes and hatred and anger and draga and dvesha. So if you want to be free, accept everybody as they are, love everybody, then I'm not expecting another person to be in a particular way. And then my mind is at peace. So if you want peace in your mind, find the joy within and do not think that any other person can give me joy. And that we'll talk in more detail about in the next verse. And now Bhagavan Sri Krishna is telling us how to start the topic of meditation. So far he has introduced the topic of meditation. Then he has talked about how a wise person acts in the world.